The name on the back. Written by Snow Dark Red. Read by Opalsong. Fandom, Yuri on Ice. Rating, general audiences. Relationship, Yuri, Victor. Also tagged for Alternate Universe, AU Hockey, Slice of Life, Social Media, Introspective, Peachy is having a lot of feelings and so am I, and Bittersweet. Part 3 of the Leave It All on the Ice series. Pritchard, at Keeper of the Cup. The cup is now going through security at Haneda _ airport, at NHL, at Hockey Hall of Fame, http://bit.ly/2IQA9ZM. 2308-22, 457 JST. August 2022. This was the Stanley Cup's last journey of the summer, and its farthest. It traveled all the way across the world to Japan for Yuri and Victor's cup days. Peachy looked around at the people gathered at the first event of the two-day party. There was a mixture of foreign and domestic press, curious bystanders, and assorted hockey players from around Asia. Most of the hockey players were wearing their jerseys over their formal clothes, and Peachy wondered for a moment if he should have brought his Stars jersey. He felt like he would have sweated through all of his clothes if he had tried, based on how unbearably hot and humid it was, but it would have made him stand out the way the rest of them did. From across the ballroom, Peachy exchanged nods with a few of the players he recognized, mostly from playing against them in the AHIL or internationally. Guang Hong Ji waved at him from his growing knot of admirers, so many that Peachy could barely make out his dragon jersey through the throng. People were taking pictures with all of the players, and even Peachy got recognized. He flashed a peace sign and smiled as a very excited girl took a selfie with him. "I can't believe you made it all the way to the NHL," she said to him in English. Sometimes neither could Peachy. She asked a couple of easy questions about Victor and Yuri's wedding, and Peachy happily chatted about the ridiculous hotel they had the ceremony at. A PR worker called everyone to attention eventually. The assembled crowd quieted as an introduction was made on the small stage. The Prime Minister of Japan entered, followed by Victor, holding the cup, and Yuri holding the Prime Minister's trophy he'd been awarded the year before. They had given it to him, the Japan Professional Sports Grand Prize. What a mouthful! For making it all the way to the NHL, for being the best and brightest in his sport. A white man in a formal suit and white gloves trailed behind all of them, keeping a watchful eye on the proceedings. That was the Keeper of the Cup, Peachy knew. A man responsible for making sure that drunk hockey players didn't forget the cup on the side of the road or throw it off a balcony. They placed the trophies on a special cloth-covered table set up on stage. Peachy couldn't really follow the speech the Prime Minister was giving, Most of the Japanese he knew was either related to food or hockey. Words like pass and goal and penalty. Swear words he could yell at the Japanese teams he used to play against. He watched as the Prime Minister presented his friends with an expensive bottle of sake. This was the first time the cup had been in Japan since 1997, and the first time it was awarded to a Japanese citizen. Peachy wondered if they were expected to drink the sake out of the cup like champagne. He couldn't himself, obviously, but he bet that Victor and Yuri weren't going to be sober at all by the time the day was over. Cameras flashed as Yuri bowed and accepted the sake. Then the Prime Minister leaned forward and touched the cup, causing the keeper of the cup to freeze and an audible gasp come from the foreign press section. Peachy happily whipped out his phone to take a picture of Yuri's clearly visible shocked expression over the Prime Minister's shoulder. July 2020. Peachy didn't know what to expect when he arrived in Dallas. A Stars employee met him at the airport, herding him and his gear into a waiting car along with another foreign hockey player. They introduced themselves to each other and waited in nervous silence as they were driven to the hotel near the practice center. Peachy watched as the road went by. He'd never been to Texas before. Once they got to their hotel, they got their room assignments. Carbel Hellstrom was bunking with a fellow Swede, while Peachy was with one of the Korean players, and met with the others hovering around the lobby. Only a few of invited prospects were locals. Most were recent draftees and college students from the northern states. Peachy was the oldest player present. They did their physicals the next morning, and then the fitness testing that afternoon. The team had offered to get him a translator for the week, but Peachy's English was better than half of the European players there, and they were all muddling through without one. "You're the oldest. You want to go first or last?" Hellstrom asked him on the third day, when they were about to hit the ice for the first time. Peachy was almost embarrassingly impressed with how nice the locker room was. This was just a practice center. He could barely believe it. He Snapchatted a couple of pictures of his locker stall and his nameplate above it to his followers. "What?" Peachy asked, looking up from his phone. Hellstrom's accent was so thick, Peachy wondered how his English-only teammates understood him at all. "Go first or last?" "First," Peachy said. He didn't regret it when he stepped onto the ice for the first time. It was just a practice rink, but there were stands in a practice rink. It was an arena Peachy would have been excited to play in Asia. And this was just the practice rink? 3,000 people could fit comfortably on the rows and rows of stadium seating. And there would still be sections left open. Hellstrom laughed at the expression on Peachy's face. "No one warned you? I was shocked too, first time. They have tournaments here sometimes." "Are people going to come and watch us?" Peachy asked, suddenly feeling a little nervous. He didn't have any experience with North American hockey, not like Yuri did. He was confident in his skating and his playmaking, that he could keep up with the 18-year-olds around him. But no one wanted to make a fool of themselves in front of teammates and strangers. He wanted to do his teammates from the Thai national team and his ALIH team proud. "It's only public for the last few days," Seung-Gil Lee, one of the Korean players, said to Peachy in Korean. He played for H1's rival, Hala, so they had faced off against each other often over the years. "That's when we do the scrimmage." Hellstrom made a disgruntled noise. "Speak English, at least. Most people here do." Maybe you should learn Korean, Lee told him. Or Thai, Peachit said in Thai. He and Lee skated off together. Lee didn't laugh when Hellstrom shouted, I already speak three languages, after them. But Peachit did. August 2022. After the first event ended, and they left the hotel room, the day started to feel like a photo shoot. They walked around Tokyo with the cup, while a dedicated group of fans and photographers followed them, like an impromptu parade. They got video of Victor and Yuri at Shibuya Crossing, with people who probably didn't even know they were stopping to stare. After all, how often do you see someone hoisting a 16-kilogram silver trophy over their head around Tokyo? Peachit questioned the keeper of the cup about what players were and weren't allowed to do, and tweeted out what he thought the funniest answers were. A couple of hockey news magazines and the official Dallas Stars account retweeted him. Eventually, they got on the Ginza line and took the train up to Akihabara Station. Once there, their odd little troop walked over to the Kanda Shrine. There were what Peachit thought was a surprising number of business employees milling around, until Yuri explained that the shrine was near Akihabara Electric Town, the tech district. Over time, the shrine had started to cater to the workers in the surrounding area. Peachit immediately bought an omomori that Yuri said was made to ward off computer failure. Peachit stood back as Victor, Yuri, and the keeper of the cup approached the shrine. A priest came out of the main building to greet them. The camera crew followed them up the steps and into the shrine, so that they could film the Stanley Cup being blessed for whatever media package the Ottawa Senators were putting together. What would Peachit do if he won the cup? It was something that every hockey player in North America dreamed of, planning for it the way some people obsessed over their future weddings. They think of every detail, from the route of their hometown parade to who they would invite to the party afterwards. Peachit could take it back to Chuncheon in Korea, where he played with High One. They would appreciate that. Or he could have his cup day in Bangkok, at the rink in the commercial district where he learned to skate. His old teammates from the ALIH could come to Thailand, and they could make it an event to expand hockey in his home country, get some more interest going in the sport Peachit had devoted his life to. Peachit had been made an alternate captain for their national team a few years ago. Not that it had done them any good in the Challenge Cup of Asia, where they once again finished an unsatisfying fourth. The national team would make an appearance at any cup celebration. Peachit had to show their support. But he would have to win it first, of course, if he ever did. Victor and Yuri appeared at the entrance of the Kanda Shrine again. Yuri had the cup in hand. Victor and Yuri bowed to the priest, and then to the shrine. The keeper of the cup echoed them a moment, clearly and uncertainly mimicking what they did. If someone placed it on a scale, it would weigh 16 kilograms. It was a heavy trophy, but they said that when you won it, it felt like it weighed nothing at all. Yuri carried it like that, like he could hold it all day without tiring. Peachit! Yuri called across the courtyard, to where Peachit was loitering with the lingering fans and photographers near the grand archway. Hey, Victor got reservations at Seiman Akihabara. They're closing part of the restaurant for us. Are you coming? Yeah, great, Peachit said, straightening. He pulled out his phone and began to compose an update as Yuri spoke to the others gathered there, giving them an invitation as well. Peachit quickly took a selfie in front of the archway in front of the shrine and added it to his tweet. It wouldn't do to let his followers down. He had worked hard to cultivate a social media presence that was recognized in both the Asian hockey world and the Western one. Building a brand, his agent called it. After a moment, he messaged Guang Hong, asking if he wanted to join them. Guang Hong said yes. I'm on the edge of something final. We collide. October 2020. It didn't matter how many training camp scrimmages he took part in or how many people came to watch the team practice. Nothing prepared Pichet for the crowd that greeted him at warmups before his first preseason game with the Dallas Stars. The AAC wasn't full, of course, as it was only the preseason, but there were at least 6,000 people there already, with more teeming in from the concourse. As he circled their defensive zone with the rest of the team, he tried not to get so caught up in staring that he tripped over his own skates, until, up against the glass, someone had printed a photo of a familiar striped flag, his flag, Thailand's flag. There they were, pressed in a crooked row, copies and copies of the Thai flag, interspaced with some poorly translated words of encouragement aimed directly at him. The tears weren't entirely unexpected, because Pichet had always been a crier. He and Yuri were very alike in that respect. They just couldn't help but cry their feelings out. Although Pichet suspected that he was more prone to happy tears than Yuri was. But he remembered watching online when the people of Ottawa had done something similar for Yuri with the Japanese flag, and now the people of Dallas were doing it for him. Pichet made sure that everyone who brought a printed Thai flag got a loose puck from warmups, even though it meant that he was the second-to-last player to get off the ice. No one on the team gave him grief for it, at least. Video. Gotta see it. Thai player Pichet Chulanont touched by Dallas fans' moving gesture before first game. Submitted by Cowboy Hat Trick 2 years ago. Cowboy Hat Trick, 743 notes, 2 years ago. I can't believe we got featured on the news. I want to thank everyone over in our Dallas Stars who helped me set this up. It's important to me that we recognize players like him who have traveled so far for the sport. He even gave all of us a puck. I posted some pics over on our subreddit if you want to check them out. The Raccoon King, 156 points, 2 years ago. It's stuff like this that sets hockey apart from other sports. Great job! August 2022. Alcohol flowed freely and frequently. The party had taken over more than half the restaurant, and no one seemed to mind since everyone appeared to be getting free drinks. People mingled around the center of the table where they set up the cup, posing and occasionally having either Victor or Yuri lift it so they could drink champagne or beer or sake from the bowl at the top. Guang Hong took advantage of the opportunity without hesitation. After all, he said to Pichet afterwards, he had no plans to play in North America, so the curse didn't matter. Halfway through the night, one of the photographers for Japan Times tried to get Pichet to hold the cup for a photo. Pichet emphatically refused and then sat as far away from the cup as he could at the restaurant. Victor toasted him from the other side of the room, laughing at his unease. Victor and Yuri's names hadn't been etched into the cup yet. But Yuri pointed out the blank spot that the senators' names were going to go. There were rows and rows of names curling around the huge base, carved with squashed and crooked little letters. Over 2,000 players, general managers, coaches, and club staff had their names on the cup, with more on the older rings entrusted to the Hockey Hall of Fame. Victor and Yuri both already had sticks, gloves, and jerseys enshrined in the Hall of Fame's museum, both for their historic coming out in 2020 and their historic cup victory in 2022. Pichet had gone to the HHOF Museum a year ago, when the Stars had taken him with them on their Canadian trip. He had wandered around Toronto like a tourist until he spotted the giant Spirit of Hockey sign over the door. He hadn't been recognized when he bought a ticket to the museum. He meandered through the museum by himself until he saw a boy struggling to frame himself in a selfie with one of the jersey displays. Do you need someone to take the picture for you? He had asked. Oh, sorry. Yeah, thank you, the boy said. And then he caught sight of Peachy's face. The recognition was instantaneous, and soon Peachy found himself the center of attention from all of the midday museum goers. He signed anything that was put in front of him and posed for pictures. He had laughed when the museum staffers had come to see what the commotion was about. His visit was featured on the HHOF Facebook page. The post included a photo of him and the boy that recognized him. They were in front of the display that housed Victor and Yuri's Ottawa jerseys from the game that had what sports media called the kiss. The party wound down just before midnight. Peachy didn't know how much money the whole thing had cost, but he saw Victor fork over his credit card without looking at the bill. Must be nice. Peachy was on a two-way contract, and he spent most of his time in the AHL, making an AHL salary. It was more than he had made in the AHIL, yes, but less than he did for the few games a season he was up in the NHL. After they bid goodbye to the restaurant staff, they got into the small fleet of taxis that had been called for them and were driven back to the hotel. Guang Hong said his farewells to everyone there. He was headed back to Shanghai early the next morning for his preseason training camp. Peachy was sad to see him go. Victor, Yuri, and the cup disappeared into their hotel room, and the keeper of the cup went into the room across the hall. It wasn't unusual for players to sleep with the cup, just to stretch out the amount of time they spent with it. Peachy went into his own hotel room and collapsed on the bed. Tomorrow they were going to all get on a train and head up to Hatsetsu to see Yuri's family. Tomorrow they were going to take the cup to Utopia Katsuki, then to Minako's studio, and then to the Ice Castle, the very rink that had brought Victor and Yuri together. Tomorrow they were going to party until the sun went down. November 2020. No one wishes injury on another player, but Peachy wasn't exactly sad about it when he heard that one of the Stars forwards went down with a sprained ankle during practice. The next day, the team flew him from Austin to Dallas in business class, and once again, someone from the organization picked him up at the airport. She drove him directly to the AAC, dropping him off in front of the players' entrance. Good luck, she said, as he was pulling his gear bag out of the car. Thank you, Peachy smiled. Equipment staff came out of the building to grab his stuff and help direct him where he was supposed to go. Peachy had played hockey since he was 5 years old. His parents had supported him in everything, even sending him out of the country when better opportunities arose. He had represented his country every year since he was 16. He loved his sport, and he knew his sport. He had played in the best league in Asia outside of the KHL. But this was the NHL, and he was going to need all the luck he could get. They were playing against the Flyers that night. Peachy listened carefully as the coaching staff went over the tape with him, pointing out what they wanted him to do on the ice. They didn't have practice that day, so he wasn't going to have a chance to try any of it with his line mates before the game. He was too small, by NHL standards, to fit in a traditional third-line role, but they didn't mind. They were looking for fast, rapid play on the left wing, not brute strength. Peachy usually stayed away from play near the crease. He didn't have the size to battle for a spot in front of the goalie, not without getting muscled aside by a defender. but he hovered around the edges, whipping in and out as play allowed. And when the puck came towards him, he didn't hesitate to thrust the blade of his stick out and deflect it towards the net. It went in, and the goal horn blared. All 18,000 people in the stands stood as one and cheered. It was a sound so loud, Peachyte felt it all the way to his bones. "Fucking pigeon," one of the Flyers shouted at him across the ice. But Peachyte waved back at him cheerfully. A garbage goal was a goal, and he would take a garbage goal that went in over a fancy shot that missed every time. They ultimately lost the game, but afterwards they still gave him his goal puck. One of the trainers put a strip of masking tape on it and scrawled, "NHL goal number one," over the top in marker. The media team took a picture of him holding it and posted the photo to Instagram. That night in his hotel room, Peachyte ran his fingers over the number one, over and over, until he was worried the ink would rub off. Stars Peachyte Chulenant mocks Flyers captain after first NHL goal. 106,411 views. Don Cherry on top. 2 years ago. This is exactly the attitude what we don't need in the game. View all 15 replies. Fucks Pens. 2 years ago. Can't wait until all the Stars Crisbies come out. Crosby me BB. 2 years ago. Uh-oh. The Flyers subreddit appears to have lost one of their idiots. August 2022. Taking the train from Tokyo to Hasetsu took just over 3 hours, and Peachyte was glad it was over by the time they disembarked. He stretched his legs at the station and watched all the locals who had come to greet them. People spoke Japanese too fast for him to even begin to follow, and he missed, suddenly, the care that the Stars locker room took to make sure that everyone understood what was happening. So many people in hockey spoke English as a second or third or fourth language that there was always someone willing to speak a little slower or call for a translator. Plus, everyone spoke the language of hockey, even if they didn't understand anything else. Pass, goal, penalty, asshole, the essentials. Peachyte knew Thai, obviously, and he learned English from school and international competitions. He picked up Korean from playing there. And what Mandarin and Cantonese he knew was from Chinese players and pop culture. He lost track of any Japanese he sort of understood the second it was spoken at a natural speed. "It's okay. I still don't understand most of it," Victor said to him in English. It was pretty much the only language they had in common. Peachyte turned to look at him. Yuri had been corralled into another interview with Japanese reporters. The cup was safely secured in its traveling case. "Liar," Peachyte said, more in amusement than as an accusation. "Yuri says you've picked it up pretty well." "He's too nice to tell me how abysmal I am," Victor said with drama. Peachyte laughed. "Now I know you're a liar. If anything, Yuri is too blunt for his own good." "True, true," Victor said fondly. "He's wonderfully honest, most of the time." Peachyte narrowed his eyes at Victor, wondering what that was in reference to. He hadn't actually had much opportunity to spend much time with Victor away from Yuri. They had already gotten together by the time Peachyte met Victor, and Peachyte had never felt the urge to give Victor any kind of shovel talk. He figured Mari had that covered enough for everyone. Maybe as Yuri's best man, he should have. "He has a hard time saying what he wants," Victor explained further. "Yeah, he does," Peachyte admitted. He looked over at Yuri, who had now moved on to signing whatever someone put in his hands. He doesn't let that stop him, though. No, Victor said. No, he doesn't. Once he puts his mind to something, I don't think anything stops him. The Gagarin Cup, the Stanley Cup, international medals and awards. Victor abandoned Peachyte then and went to join Yuri's spontaneous autograph session just as the reporters started drifting towards them. Peachyte didn't miss that he'd just been left to the wolves. Peachyte did his duty and gave an interview with the media gathered, some local Japanese papers, and the lingering English foreign reporters who seemed mostly confused to be here at all. Peachyte said nice things about looking forward to the new season no matter which Stars team he played with, and how happy he was for Victor and Yuri. Not only for their victory, but for their marriage. They've had a really wonderful year, he said, and he meant it. March 2021. The warmth of Austin in spring was a welcome change over the lingering chilly bite of Columbus, Ohio. It didn't hurt that the team had gotten him a first-class upgrade for his plane ride back. After last night, he needed it. After last night, he would gladly never play the Blue Jackets again in his life. After last night, he quickly went from thinking the Columbus goal cannon was kind of cool to hating it with a passion he usually reserved for the Malaysian national team. Fuck that cannon! Peachyte quickly located his Prius and loaded his gear bag in the back. No matter how many of his Texas Stars teammates mocked his car choice, he had no intention of trading it in for one of those monstrous SUVs so popular in North America. Unlike Yuri, Peachyte already knew how to drive when he came to America. He still had to take the driver's test, but he passed it easily. He posted a tweet showing off the license the DMV issued him and mocking Yuri for not having one. Victor had gotten them an expensive Range Rover to use around Ottawa, and Yuri had never so much as sat in the driver's seat. Peachyte, having been in it himself, was more than satisfied with the usefulness of his Prius. Besides, he went through all the trouble of buying Hamtaro stickers for the back windshields, and he didn't want to have to take them off. It took Peachyte a little over 40 minutes to drive from Austin Bergstrom Airport up to Cedar Park. He and two of his teammates were renting a house there, just a little ways from the HEB Center, where they played. He felt every bruise from the game on the way there. It had gotten rough, with so many of the top players sitting out to rest before the playoffs, and Peachyte wasn't used to taking on a third or fourth line role. There had been blood on the ice before the end of the third period, but thankfully none of it was his. At least he scored another goal while he was up, he thought to himself. He had a little collection of them now, from the sporadic games he'd played throughout the season. Points built up, and he was having success in the AHL. His play was progressing, developing in a way that playing in Thailand or the AHIL never gave him the opportunity to. Plus, even though Texas was still strange to him, and Austin was stranger still, he did like it. His teammates had taken him to Gordo's when he'd first been assigned to the Texas Stars, which was mind-blowing. And now he proudly owned a Keep Austin Weird shirt. He made friends, both among his teammates and the locals. He missed home, of course, but he had played almost his entire career abroad. He had missed home from Korea, too. "That was a beauty of a goal, Chewie," Brownie One said when he came through the door. "It was," Peachy said, accepting the compliment with a grin, and Brownie One laughed. "Seriously, when did you become such a grinder?" Brownie Two teased. He didn't look up from his retro copy of NHL 94. "Chopping at people's ankles in the corner like you're some sort of international superstar." "Maybe we should get his autograph," Brownie One said to Brownie Two. "I think we should," Brownie Two said. "We can have it framed. A genuine Chewy autograph." Peachy pulled out his sweaty, nasty-smelling gloves from his gear bag and threw one at each of their heads. Brownie Two recoiled when it hit his face and immediately lost his video game. Peachy hightailed it out of the room, which didn't stop either Brownie from trying to nail him in the back with his own gloves. August 2022. "Nobody was this excited when he won the Gagarin Cup," Mari said, taking a drag from her cigarette and exhaling. Peachy leaned away from her, resisting the urge to wave the smoke away. "Well, no," he said, "but the Gagarin Cup isn't as prestigious as the Stanley Cup." "Humph," Mari grunted. Peachy wasn't fooled in the slightest. He knew she had teared up when they had unpacked the cup from its case and shown it to Yuri's family. She and Minako had all but cried outright from happiness and pride in what Yuri had accomplished. Victor, too, he supposed, but to a lesser extent. "It's too bad they hadn't had it at their wedding," Mari added after a moment. "It would have made a great centerpiece." Victor had fought for it, actually. He wanted to use it for the reception toast, of all things. But Yuri had persuaded him that it would be better to have their cup days in Japan together, so they could do more with it before they had to give it back. Victor had conceded, on the condition that they go to his choice of honeymoon location. So far, the cup celebration in Hatsetsu was off to a good start. Yuri had made it clear to his family and friends that he didn't want a parade, but there was nothing he could do to stop the rest of the town from doing the next best thing. A small festival had sprung up outside the onsen, with rows of stalls selling food and Ottawa Senators swag. There was even a stall selling amezaiku shaped like the Stanley Cup. Peachy immediately bought one and took several photographs of it. The whole town, it seemed, had turned out to celebrate. While most of the hockey players from the day before had either stayed in Tokyo or gone home, a few dedicated ones had followed them up. Kenjiro Minami was one. Peachy could see his wildly dyed hair moving back and forth as he took photo after photo of Victor and Yuri with the cup. Yurio Plisetsky wasn't there. He hadn't come at all. While Plisetsky had made an appearance at Victor and Yuri's wedding, he had refused to come to Japan for the celebration. Peachy was pretty sure that Plisetsky had spent most of his summer running around Europe with that defenseman from Kazakhstan he befriended at the draft, avoiding any mention of the Islanders' first-round elimination from the playoffs. And probably avoiding stepping foot in Russia as well. Peachy understood that, even if he didn't understand why the other player would miss some of the most important days of Victor and Yuri's careers. After a few gratuitous pictures of Yuri eating katsudon out of the cup, Peachy'd hoped they washed it at some point. They went to the fake ninja castle for even more photos. Peachy snapped more than a few himself, although he never got close enough to even accidentally brush the cup. Once they were satisfied the visit had been documented enough, they went over to the ice castle for the official meet and greet. Yuri said a few words about what an honor it was to represent his hometown abroad, and Victor said some things as well, and then the line formed. Peachy was included in the autograph line, to his surprise, and while he politely refused to sign any of the Senators' shirts or jerseys that people brought, most of which bore Yuri's name, he did sign other things. There were mostly plain t-shirts, posters, printed photos, or whatever else people had on hand. A couple of people even brought up pictures of him in his Stars uniform, which he thought was touching. It felt like they signed something for everyone in Hasetsu, twice, by the time Yuko gave them the all clear to start packing up. The sun was starting to set outside, but Peachy knew the day was still far from over. There was still going to be a party. This party was a bit more informal than the one the night before. Everyone seemed to know each other, and all of the reporters had politely refused to join them. The senator's media crew was still there, but they stood at a distance. Peachy trusted them not to let anything damaging wind up on the internet, if only to preserve the good name of their team. Which was good, because while Victor and Yuri got a little drunk the night before, this night they got trashed. Peachy knew Yuri could sling back alcohol. After all, they had played against each other internationally before, and the hotel room parties after those tournaments were always wild. But he'd never had the opportunity to see Victor get drunk before. They acted like, well, newlyweds. And after a while, everyone drifted away and let them have some privacy. Yuri's parents excused themselves to bed, and the keeper of the cup looked like he wished he could do the same. Peachy found himself sipping on a glass of champagne, looking at the cup. Up close, it was dinged and scratched and a little dented. He wondered what it would be like to lift it on the ice, to have everyone in the crowd screaming for you as you hoisted the cup over your head. When the NHL and AHL playoffs had begun, his old team in Chuchion had posted a video wishing him luck, just as they had the year before. The Stars had featured it on their social media accounts, and it had been featured on TSN. But the Dallas Stars went out in the first round, again, and the Texas Stars went out in the second round, again, and neither of Peachy's teams went far enough to warrant flying his family and friends in to watch. He'd flown up to Canada to support Victor and Yuri, but he hadn't anticipated how hard it would be to watch them lift that trophy over their heads, to see them hold it together and exchange a kiss under it. Peachy may never win the cup. It was said to be the hardest trophy to win in all competitive sports. To achieve glory in the NHL was a hard, long battle, one that often left players with little but scars to show for it. He was the first Thai skater in the NHL and the AHL. He was the first to represent his country in hockey at that level. He had a Wikipedia page about him, as well as a hashtag fans used whenever he scored a goal. People still showed up at his games with Thai flags to show their support. They cheered whenever he touched the puck. Once his time in the big leagues was up, regardless of whether or not he won the cup, he was going to make sure his country advanced in international hockey. He was going to make sure that their players developed well enough that they could experience that for themselves. That eventually the game grew big enough in Thailand that their hockey league could stand on its own. "Hey, Yuri," he called. Yuri looked up from the dark corner he and Victor had found, glasses askew. "How do you feel about playing in an exhibition game next summer, in Thailand?" "Sure," Yuri said, his brow furrowed. "Why?" "So that we can show them how great hockey is," Peachy explained with a smile. "Think we can get any other players to join us?" "I'm sure we can," Victor said. Peachy laughed and saluted them. He looked back at the Stanley Cup. Maybe he didn't win it his first year in the league, or his second, but that wasn't the only goal of his career. Maybe it wasn't even the main goal of his career. Philip Pritchard, at Keeper of the Cup. And with that, the cup is headed home again. This might be the most unique set of cup days I've had. At Hockey Hall of Fame, at Senators. 26-08-22-9-12 JST. The end. Yeah. author's notes. Chewy is also the hockey nickname for legendary U.S. player Julie Chu. Peachy is honored. The AHL affiliate for the Dallas Stars is called, confusingly, the Texas Stars. They're a level below the team that plays in Dallas, and players will often find themselves shuffled between the two teams when there are injuries in the lineup. Here's the thing with the Stanley Cup. You don't touch it before you win it. You just don't. It's one of the most ingrained hockey superstitions in the sport. Most of the fans even adhere to it. When I had my picture taken with the cup a few years ago, I had the opportunity to touch it, and I very much did not. And hey, my team then won the cup again last year, so maybe it worked. I based the Japanese Prime Minister touching the cup and the reaction he got on 2009 with President Obama. The president touched the cup and there was an audible gasp in the room. The Stanley Cup really did make a trip to Japan in 1997. As far as I can find, that's its only trip to Japan. That story is in this article as well as a couple of others. If you want to hear about hockey players doing slightly crazy shit with a 100-year-old trophy, check it out. Link in the text post. There are a ton of wild cup stories out there, because that thing has been through everything from someone trying to kick it across a river, to people forgetting it on the side of the road, to people baptizing their babies in it. All the players mentioned by name in the Stars organization are fictional. I have actually been to the Dr. Pepper Center, where they have their prospect camp, and it's nuts! Kanda Shrine really exists, and it really does specialize in blessing electronics. Two of the kami enshrined there belong to the Seven Gods of Fortune. They would absolutely bless the Stanley Cup if someone asked. A two-way contract means that the player gets paid different amounts depending on which league they play in. For example, a player might make $3,000 a day in the NHL at the league minimum, but only $500 a day on an average AHL salary. Good money by itself, but small potatoes next to even the lowest NHL salary. Seriously, fuck the Columbus Blue Jackets' stupid goal cannon. I had to sit near that thing during the 2015 All-Star Game, and it was traumatizing. Hockey equipment smells fucking rank, y'all. If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback for both myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening! Reader's notes. This podfic is dedicated to Hana Nobira because both Peachy and the Stars remind me of you.